Ireland. I've been coming to Northern Ireland for a long, long time, since about, we were talking about it, weren't we? I think it's like 1996 or something, the first time that I came over. And always just sort of loved the people. Can I move that or not? Am I allowed to? A little bit. And just love the humor over here. Love, apart from Aaron's, which is terrible. I love the humor, love the food, love the friendship, the crack, and as we were talking about that. And all of that stuff is great. And I love Vibe Church. I love what God's doing here, right in the heart of a city, a community of people that are committed to the gospel. I told you I've been doing music for 25 years and 26 years. And the last 2.5 years, I've been the lead pastor of a church in Macclesfield, and loving that. It's been going really, really great. And what I love is the power of the gospel to change people's lives. It's just the best thing ever, isn't it? Just to see someone's life changed. And we seem to be seeing it every week in our church at the moment. Somebody comes, somebody gives their life to Christ, and over the next few weeks, you just see things change. You see things lifted off of them. You see, it's like their eyes light up, their hearts come to life. It's the power of the gospel that does that. And I was praying about tonight what to share with you, and I was watching. Did you ever watch like little videos on YouTube and stuff? You ever do that? Anybody do that? And I was watching this like song on YouTube. And you remember after like you know how like at the end of a song, random suggestions come up. Does that happen on your YouTube? Is that just mine? Everybody does it do that on everybody's? And well, I don't know. I just thought maybe it was not on mine. Thought they were targeting me or something. So these random videos come up, you know, of all kinds of seemingly unrelated things, you know, how to plant a flower in a pot and, all kinds of stuff. Random 25 best goals, you know, all these things come up. Anyway, today there came up this restoration of a knife. Now, don't worry, I'm not particularly into knives or anything, but there was this rusty old knife. And it was the word restoration that really grabbed my attention, because I love the theme of restoration. In fact, I think a couple of years ago here at Vibe, I preached on restoration because it's such a powerful theme. So I was watching this video of this old rusty knife, and it's the sort of thing that you wouldn't have paid 50p for, because it was just blunt and dull and so rusty. And it's fascinating. Do you ever find yourself like watching a video, you think, I'll give it 20 seconds. 10 minutes later, you're still watching this video because it kind of draws you in, right? And this guy goes to work restoring this old rusty knife. And I couldn't even tell you what he does because I'm not a very handy person. But it looked like a lot of grinding and polishing was involved and getting rid of all the rust and all the crud. And then finally taking this back to bare metal and then re-sharpening the edge, and he made a new handle for it. And at the end, it was amazing, just this great restoration job. But I felt God speak to me for some of you. I feel like some of you have lost your cutting edge lately. And even as soon as I've just said that, you'll know who you are. Because you know it. You know if you've lost your cutting edge. You know if you are not as sharp as you used to be. And I just felt like for some of you here tonight, you can look back, and it might be a month ago or 6 months ago or 6 years ago, and you go, man, I was sharper back then in God. I had more of a cutting edge. I was more alive in him. And lately, you know that things have got a bit dull in your life, and I just want to encourage you that I felt like God say tonight, he wants you to get your cutting edge back. He wants to restore some sharpness to who you are as a follower of Christ. So if that's for you, I pray that will encourage you as we kind of open the word together. I want to talk tonight about success. About success. We live in a world that is obsessed with success. It's obsessed with success. And there can be this immense pressure on us, and particularly those of you that are younger than me, which is most of you, maybe all of you, there can be this great pressure put on our lives to be successful. Do you know that feeling? Like, I've got to be successful. I've got to do something with my life that is successful. I think it gets amplified in your generation with all of the kind of Instagram stuff, all of that kind of, you know, do you ever look at Instagram and you just go, man, and I'd sort of, put your hand up if you use Instagram, so I know I'm not talking to myself. Okay, so most of you. And you look at people and go, man, everyone is just so successful. You know what I mean? They're successful in what they wear. They're successful in where they go. They're successful in what they do. And the truth is, most of us only post on Instagram the highlights of our lives. We only put the best bits up. It's like the highlights. It's the photo album of our lives. Most of us don't like post on Instagram, just got out of bed, you know, sleep in our eyes, you know, and whatever. Had a terrible day. You know, nobody does that. And so there's this pressure to be successful. And I don't know, maybe you felt that pressure in your life. And it could be the pressure of success in the eyes of the world, that sort of to have the right house and the right car, the right stuff, the sort of demonstrates to others and to maybe even demonstrates to yourself somehow that, yeah, I've got my life together. I'm sort of successful. Or it could be your career is your, that's what you need to show everybody else that you're successful. I've gone through my education. I've got my qualifications. And look at my career. Look at me. I've reached something. I've succeeded in some way. Or there can be a great pressure for ministry success. That sounds strange, doesn't it? But it's real. You know, like, I've got to get the church to grow. We want to have, like, the best worship in town or the greatest youth ministry or the greatest whatever. There could be a real sort of pressure for success. Let me read to you out of the scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1, and verse 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I want to talk about three measures of true success tonight. It's probably more than three. I just want to give you three. I don't want to throw too many at you. But I just want to say that I think the way God sees success is often very different than the way we see success. God's definition of success is different sometimes than our definition of success. It's not that God doesn't want us to be successful. I think God does want us to be successful. And by the way, I'm not saying that if you've achieved a certain level in your career, that that's a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. That's a great thing. I'm not saying that if you drive a nice car that that's a bad thing. That's a wonderful thing. And I'm not saying that if you've got the best worship or the best, you know, youth ministry in town, that that's a bad thing. That's a wonderful thing. They're just not the main thing. They're not the ultimate thing. And we want to make sure that we've got our priorities right. We've got this stuff straightened out internally in our lives so that we know what true success is. So let me just give you three that hopefully will encourage you that even if your life doesn't look like Instagram, even if the car you drive isn't as nice as the person next to you, even if your job doesn't earn you as much money as your best mate, and even if your ministry isn't the highest profile in the country or whatever, that's okay. You can kind of go, I'm still okay. So here's three things. Number one, true success is about the long haul, not the short sprint. True success is about the long haul, not the short sprint. You know, over the years as I've traveled, I've met so many young people, young adults, who have kind of sprung up with enthusiasm and passion. And yet, 3 or 4 years later, you turn around and you say, where are they? They've disappeared. I've seen young people come and weep at the altar and sing songs like, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. And you go back to the church, you know, 3 years later, you go, hey, whatever happened to that dude? You know, the one who was, I think, oh, yeah, he's not around anymore. He quit. I remember when I started out in music ministry, I was traveling around. Back in the day, we used to sell tapes. That's how old I am. Traveling around selling my tapes and CDs and stuff, and there was a particular band. You know, there was a kind of a bit of a circuit that you'd go and play gigs around the UK and stuff, and there was this particular band that had sprung up out of nowhere, and they were like the next big thing. People were talking about them, and they had a manager, and I remember, I don't have a manager. You know, and they had a record deal, and I didn't have a record deal, and they had like the best gear, and I had my old, you know, beat up guitar, not this one, it was a more cheaper one, and you know, if you were to look at them, you'd have said, man, they're the successful band, and that Parsons dude, he's just like going around in his rusty Vauxhall Cavalier. I remember showing up at this gig in Wales, and the guy that organized the gig, he was like, oh, it's good to have you, Steve, you know, and whatever. But last month we had, and he named this particular band as though I would have fell down and gone, wow, you know. And they were such a big deal. Everyone talked about them. And they lasted about 3 years. And that's okay. But then they fell out, and there was an argument, and there was a fight, and there was a split, and there was upset, and then there was a this, and then there was a that, and then the stories came out. And you know what I mean? See, true success isn't about springing up and being successful for 6 months or successful for a year or look at me, I'm really on fire for a week. True success is about the long haul. I want to be someone who, I'm 46, when I'm 66 or 76 or 86 or 96, however long God gives me, I still want to be fresh. I still want to be going for it. I still want to be singing, here am I, all to Jesus I surrender. I want to be in it for the long journey. How about you? And so true success is about keeping on, keeping on. I was thinking about Noah. I don't know why, I was just flying over yesterday, thinking about Noah. And how, you know, like there was a day where God told him to build an ark. What would you do if God told you to build an ark?
Build it.
Okay. But like how? Do you know what I mean? Because it's one thing to get the vision of, okay, God's told me to build an ark, and he's given me the dimension. Like, but then you've got to build the thing without power tools. And that took, we don't know how long it took Noah to build the ark, but it must have taken years. And there must have been days, right, where Noah's out there like working away on his ark, and everyone thinks he's crazy. And there must have been days where it didn't look like success, it looked like madness. Where can you imagine when the ark was half finished, whatever it looked like then? And bearing in mind, like, there had been no flood. People would have said, all the kind of things that people have said. Imagine if they had Instagram. Just go with it, right? If they had Instagram in Noah's day, people coming back by taking selfies, like, look at this idiot, like, with his art half, you know, kind of thing. But it just, pressing on through, keeping on going. When it's great, when it's sunny, when it's rainy, when it you feels good, when it doesn't feel good, being in it for the long haul. One day God showed up and spoke to Abraham, and he said, you're going to be, you know, he was called Abraham, and then he said, you're going to be Abraham, father of a multitude. You're going to be a father of our faith. You're going to have multitudes of children, like the stars in the sky, like the sand on the beach. And they hadn't even got one child. And you go, man, okay, God's given me the vision. God's told me it's going to happen. How long did it take until Isaac was born? 25 years. Some of you aren't even 25 years old yet. 25 years from receiving the vision till finally Isaac being born. See, I've learned God's not in a hurry. God's not in a hurry. And I think what God's looking for in our lives is people who are going to be in it for the long haul. Hebrews 12 talks about us fixing our eyes on Jesus. You know that scripture, therefore, because we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run the race set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinful people, so that you won't grow weary and lose heart. What a scripture. I love that scripture. He said, keep your eyes on Jesus and remember what he did. Jesus went through the cross. For Jesus, it wasn't all about Instagram, like, here I am hanging out with my pals. Here we are having a hazelnut latte, you know. Smile, Peter. Smile, whatever. That's not what it was all about, right? For Jesus, it's like there was a joy that was set before him that caused him to endure the cross. What was the joy? The joy was not the cross. It was what was happening on the other side of the cross. The joy was the salvation of people that would come through the work of the cross. The joy was the coming of his kingdom because of the finished work of the cross. But he had to endure the cross to get to the joy. And that's why the writer of Hebrews says, listen, you consider his endurance so that you won't lose heart, so that you won't give up, so that you won't quit. Come on, say, I want to finish this race. I hope there's not a day where you're sitting around having your hazelnut latte or whatever you're having, and which I do like a nice hazelnut latte. And you're having a chat, you go, hey, whatever happened to that bald-headed guy from England? Whatever happened to him? Oh, did you hear about him? Oh, he messed it up and he had some sort of failure. Or he got really disillusioned and he just quit. He just quit the ministry. I hope, I pray that you never have that conversation about me. I hope no one ever has that conversation about you. I hope that, man, I hope like we're at Vibe in like 40 years' time. You invite me over and we're all here. I'll be here with a walking stick. You know what I mean? And you'll all have gray hair and no hair. And we'll still be pressing on. We'll still be keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. We still have endurance. And if we are, or some version of that, that's success. If you're still serving with optimism and freshness, if you still believe in the finished work of Christ 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 40 years from now, that's success in the eyes of God. Anyone want to say amen? That's the first thing. Second thing, I'll be quicker with these next two, probably, is that true success is about faithfulness, not fame. True success is about faithfulness, not fame. We were sort of having a bit of a tongue-in-cheek conversation today about some, you know, like some Christian celebrities, you know, like the, I'm sure they're wonderful people. I'm not going to name them because it's not about that. But even just that, those two words don't really sit well together, do they? Christian celebrity. They don't really match. They don't really go, because that's the last thing Christianity is about. The last thing it is about is about fame. The last thing it's about is about our fame. It's about his prominence. It's about his glory. It's about his fame. There have been many people who stayed faithful to serve God and do what he called them to do, who never had any recognition, who never made it onto a book cover or an album cover or a magazine cover, who nobody's ever heard of. And yet I think one day when we get to heaven and Jesus starts handing out awards, it's not going to be like the Oscars. You know, like at the Oscars where all the celebs sit at the front, all the ones we know, and then all the, like, the less famous you are, the further back you sit. So, like, in heaven, we're, like, you and me, we're, like, sat back in the, you know, row Z or something. And all those Christian celebs are down the front, and Jesus going, and the Academy Award for greatest pastor, and we all, of course it's him, you know, we've all heard of him, you know, whatever. My Bible says the first will be last, and the last will be first. I think we're going to be in heaven, and Jesus is going to go, I'm just making this up, by the way, but, you know, the Academy Award for greatest prayer warrior goes to, you know, Mabel Smith. Okay, Mabel Smith. Who's Mabel Smith? Some little old lady comes walking up, you know, no one's ever heard of. He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Notice the words Jesus says. It's not well done, good and famous servant. It's well done, good and faithful servant. We have to really decide whether we're gonna go for what we think successful or what he thinks is successful. Several years ago, I was invited to go and play a concert in this little church. Most of my music ministry has been in little places, little churches, little villages, little towns, little places no one's ever heard of. And I've had my little moments of bigger stuff, and that's fun. But I showed up at this little place, and there's like 40 people there. And I traveled like 5 or 6 hours to get there. And I set up, I do my concert. And on the way down, I was feeling really discouraged. Listen, if you're going to serve God for the long haul, you're going to have times of discouragement. And you're going to have times where you just feel like giving up. You're going to, is it really worth this endurance thing? And it was a time where we were getting ready to record an album. And my heart was not in it. My heart wasn't in it because, you know, I've recorded 9 albums, I think. But none of them have been bestsellers. I don't have any gold discs. You know, no Grammys or anything like that. A couple of mummies. My mum thinks they're great, but no Grammys. And And so I was like, all the effort and pain, and some of you guys have been involved in creative projects, making albums or writing, and you know the pain that goes into creating stuff. And I just drive into this gig going, oh, God, here I go, Lord, tonight to play to 50 people, 6-hour drive. And I don't know if I really want to record. God, do you really want me to record another record, And I got there, and God just, every so often, God lifts the lid, and he gives you a little look behind the curtain just to encourage you. And I'm not saying this for me. I'm just saying this just to encourage you in what you're called to do. But I finished that little gig. It went really well. It was a nice night. There's 40 or 50 people. We sang and we talked. And afterwards, I'm packing up, and this guy comes up to me. He goes, can I just say, you don't know me, but man, your CDs have really encouraged me. They've really kept me going. He said, I listen to them when I'm driving to work. They really, build me up. And I was like, oh, man, thank you. That's really kind of you. And then he poodles off to get a cup of coffee. Somebody else walked up to me and said, can I talk to you? And I said, yeah, sure. And they told me some other story. They worked in a drug rehab center, and they told me some story about some guy who had been going through cold turkey and given up his heroin addiction, cold turkey, and going through the pain of withdrawal. And he'd found one of my songs, and he just played it over and over again during his rehab, and it helped him through. I was like, that's amazing. And he told her off to get some coffee. And then another woman came up to me, and she said, can I just tell you something? She said, no one's probably ever told you this kind of thing. I don't think this is crazy. She said, I've got a brother, and he's he was in a really bad way. He had a full-on nervous breakdown. He ended up in a psychiatric unit. He became suicidal. He really felt like he'd lost his faith. And we would take him a Bible to read, and he wouldn't read the Bible. And we would take him books to read, and he wouldn't read them. And he wouldn't listen to anything. But we took him in one of your CDs. And he found this one song on there, and he just listened to it over and over again. And it kind of pulled him out of the state he was in. And there were four or five of these stories, one after the other. And after a while, I sort of said, okay, God, I get the message. Do I want a Grammy and a gold disc, or do I want a song that's going to help some guy get out of a psychiatric unit? And if it only gets one guy out of a tough moment in his life, that's worth it, right? And so it is for you. And so you've got to settle in your heart that you're in it for the long haul, not the short sprint, and you've got to settle in your heart. It's about faithfulness. It's not about fame. Final thing. True success is about who you're becoming, not what you're achieving. It's about who you're becoming, not what you're achieving. All of our medals, all of our trophies, all of our certificates, someone else one day is going to stick them in the loft or take them to recycling. Just letting you know. And it's not that I'm against achievement, but if you are achieving everything that the world says is great, but you're not becoming something amazing in the process, then somehow you got it back to front. And in my church, our church is it's a great church. We got all ages. We got babies, and our oldest guy's 96 years old, Jim, still driving. God help us. And we got everything in between. But I say to our church, all I really care is about who we are becoming in Christ as the gospel's being worked out in our lives. So that, see, success is that this year I'm a little bit more loving than I was last year. I'm a little bit more patient than I was last year. There's greater authenticity to my life than there was last year. I've got greater faith, greater hope, greater settledness, greater peace than I had last year. If I'm becoming something in the process, because where we started in 1 Peter, he says the outcome of your faith is the salvation of your souls. That's the greatest success. The greatest success is not going to be what happens in this life. The greatest success is going to be when you walk into heaven and you see Jesus face to face. The salvation of your soul. I mean, what could be better than that? And here's the sad thing about how deceived we get in our minds. For some of us, we go, oh yeah, that's really good, like going to heaven and stuff. But I want a Mercedes right now. I mean, that's really good, like going to heaven and stuff. But what I want is something here now. I want something tangible today. How deceived we are. How messed up our values. Peter uses a phrase here, and I'm going to finish up with this, and then we're going to pray. He talks about the trials we go through. He talks about the endurance. He talks about us being tested, as it were, by fire. And he says this in verse 7, so that the tested genuineness of your faith. You got a Bible, you want to highlight that. You want to underline that one day. 1 Peter 1, verse 7, the genuineness of your faith. More precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter says what God's looking for is an authenticity, a genuineness to your faith, that you are the real deal. How does that happen? Peter says, well, how it happens with gold is that gold gets heated up. And when you heat up gold, all the dross comes to the surface and gets scooped away so that the gold gets refined, becomes pure. And that's, Peter says, what God does in us. Through all of the difficulties, through all of the trials, as we endure, actually all the dross, all the muck, all the stuff that doesn't belong there comes to the surface, gets dealt with, gets taken away, so that we become the genuine, real deal. Going back to that illustration I used earlier, it's like that old rusty knife that all the crud needs to be taken away so that it can be repolished and resharpened and it can be the real deal. Several years ago, I thought I'd save money. And I needed a nice raincoat, and I wanted to be cool. And everyone was wearing North Face raincoats, so I thought, I want one of them North Face raincoats, because then I'll be cool too. So I thought, but they're expensive. I'm not going to pay that kind of money. So I went on eBay. I'm going to get me an eBay North Face raincoat. And brand new with tags. So I found a brand new with tags North Face raincoat, and I got it. It came in the post, and it really looked cool, and I looked cool. And I walked around with my North Face raincoat. Look at what I got on my shoulder, North Face. And it really looked the part until it started raining. And then the North Face raincoat became the North Face leaky raincoat. And I became the wet person. So I'm like, I go home, I take off my North Face raincoat, brand new with tags, and I'm wet. So I thought, right, this is not on. I'm going to go to the North Face shop in Manchester and take my North Face raincoat that leaks. So I did. I jumped in my car, drove into Manchester, went to this big North Face store, and I walked in with my North Face raincoat that I got off eBay, brand new with tags. And I said, hey, these North Face raincoats, what's the guarantee? He goes, oh, this Gore-Tex has got a lifetime guarantee. I said, well, mine leaks. And he says, well, let's have a look at it. He had a look, and he goes, well, sir, I can tell you why it leaks. Because this is not a genuine North Face coat. This is a fake. And I said, oh. See, it looked the part until it was tested. And when it was tested, it was not authentic. It wasn't genuine. It's just a poor copy. Got a question for you. Do you look the part until you're tested? Because only when you're tested that the authenticness, the genuineness of your faith is revealed. In other words, are you just a sunny day Christian? That when the sun's shining, everyone looks at you and goes, man, she's so godly. He's so holy. But when the rain comes and the storm blows, are you genuine in those times too? When no one's looking, are you genuine then? That's success. Success is loving Jesus when no one's looking. Success is when it's tipping down with rain and God has not answered your prayer yet, loving him and worshiping him anyway. Success is obeying him when no one else obeys him. Success is not compromising when everyone else compromises. So that you're genuine. So let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, we just open up our hearts to you right now. We just thank you that you're here by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, because you're here by your Spirit, you know everything about us. There's no point in us faking it. You know what's going on in our lives. Lord, I pray for anyone here tonight who they know that they need to get their cutting edge back again. That their blade, as it were, has got dull lately. That their faith has got a bit rusty lately. There's been too much crud sticking to their lives lately. Lord, I pray that in this moment of prayer, just by the work of the Holy Spirit, Lord, maybe people right now would just repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Sorry for that attitude. I'm sorry for that my values have been the wrong way around. I'm sorry for my sin. Sorry for my choices that are ungodly. I'm sorry for letting crud build up in my life. And Lord, I pray, Lord, even just right now that you'd begin that work of restoring and forgiving and just for people to get their cutting edge back again in this place tonight. Lord, I pray for anyone who would just, they just know that you've been speaking to them tonight and their idea of success has been a little bit unbalanced. Lord, we want to be genuine followers of Christ. We want to be the real deal. We want to be people who are in it for the long haul. We want to be people who are faithful. We don't care about fame, we care about faithfulness. Obedience, authenticity. Lord, let them be the hallmarks of our lives, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Let's just keep ourselves in a moment of prayer. Just keep our eyes fixed on Jesus as the writer of Hebrews says, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the work of the cross. But tonight, you know, if the Lord's been speaking to you, he's been stirring your heart, you just want to respond. I don't want to make a big deal of it, but I do want to give you an opportunity just to respond and say, yes, Lord. And Lord, I want to be someone who is in it for the long haul. I want to go all the way. I want to be authentic, genuine. I want to have the right idea of success. If God's just been stirring you, speaking to you about those things tonight, will you just raise your hand? so I can see it. And you can put it down again. But you're just saying, yeah, Lord, you're speaking to me. That's great. That's wonderful. That's great. Thank you. That's great. That's great. Lord, you're speaking to me tonight. I'm just responding to you. I'm just responding to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you. You've just seen those that raised their hand and who just internally are saying, yeah, Lord, that's me. And just as that, I thank you, Lord, for that response. And I just pray, Lord, that you would seal in their hearts tonight the work of Jesus, the work of the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm going to hand back to the band or to Daryl or somebody.